All right. Well, I found out a while ago, I thought tonight that I was going to give a brief challenge, and then found out this morning that I was going to have the whole thing. And so I shifted gears real quick, and I had told you that after I had gotten done with Satanism, that I wanted to go on to the other two major cults that are out there today, and look at them, and basically I wanted to give you again apologetic, a defense of the faith, why we don't have to worry, fear, or even think to ourselves, well, I don't have an answer for them. God's word gives us an answer to everything. I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. And I also believe that through God's word, if somebody is willing to listen, that we should be able to give a rhyme and a reason for when people come at us and they have odd, goofy, or unusual beliefs, why we should be able to, through the word of God, challenge those beliefs. Show them why they are wrong, why they are faulty, or what the fault is with their belief. Well, tonight, what I'd like to do is I would like to look at Mormonism. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. I want to start with that verse, very, very familiar verse that you know. And basically, it's our premise behind both Satanism, Mormonism, and Jehovah's Witness, all of it. It's a very, very, very familiar verse. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." All right? That verse right there simply stated is that we should, as Christians, not be ashamed of our faith, but be very, very ready and willing to give our faith, to share our faith. Many of you work in a secular workplace. Very few of me get to work with saved people, for the most part, every single day, other than Brother Mayer. We got to work with saved people. It's a blessing if you're like me and you get to hang out with and have fun and chide one another. As Christians, we have a good time. But many of you work with unsaved people. You work in the world. And I'm sure that if you're worth half your salt as a Christian, you have come up against a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. How many of you know for sure you work with one of those? Either a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Or you used to. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Well, how many of you have actually had good talking with to either one of them? Okay, good. Let me give you some of the stats for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are now, most of them, their headquarters is in Salt Lake City, Utah. It didn't used to be that way. They started in, I believe it was Fayette, New York, is where they started. Then they went from there, and they moved to Ohio. From Ohio, they moved to Missouri. And finally in Missouri, they had a huge run-in with the governor of Missouri. And he basically outlawed them and said, "You can shoot to kill." It's way back in the day. All right? So I tell you what, when that order came through, some of them did get shot and killed. Many of them got put in prison. And then the rest of them fled to Illinois, which is why Illinois has as many problems as what they do today. The Mormon Church has between 25 and 30 billion dollars in assets. That was as of 1997. Okay? They get $3 million a day that is generated by their tithes. Did you get that? That's not Sunday. It's not Sunday. That's $3 million a day that comes in on tithes. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you want to become a member of the Mormon Church, you are required to give 10%. Do you know that? Otherwise, you cannot be a member of the Mormon Church if you don't give that. All right? They have more than 11 million members, and it is growing at over 1,500 people a day. Not that long ago, they were one of the fastest, and still are one of the fastest growing churches in the United States. They are now ranked 6th in the United States. They just passed the Presbyterians, the Episcopal Church, and the Lutheran Missouri Synod as far as members that the Mormon Church has. Their whole goal was to have a baptism, have a Mormon baptism, have one Mormon baptism every 2 minutes, or right less than 2 minutes. All right? And I don't know if you know much in regards to the Mormons, but baptism is huge, huge for them. Baptism is part of their salvation. All right? If you don't get baptized, or you're not baptized as a Mormon, you can't get saved. But even salvation is a relative term. All right? When you're talking to a Mormon in regards to salvation, they may agree with you on some things, but their salvation is a very, very relative term, because they believe once a person, that your whole goal is to become God. All right? That's it. Part of your whole goal to become God is you need to make sure that you have a lot of offspring. The more offspring you have, that goes along with their thinking, the more offspring you have, once you get into the telestial, terrestrial, or celestial, then you'll become greater, 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 greater God. So eventually, you can become what they would call or classify as an uppercase G-O-D. All right? Whether you knew it or not, Mormons believe that you have pre-existed before you were ever born. That was your spirit body. Now you exist, and then you will exist after you die, and you will go into one of those three stages. They are racist in the fact that they believe that if you are born black, you made a mistake in your pre-existent life. All right? So before you were born, you did something wrong, and so that was why you were born black. They had a huge problem with that in the 1960s and 1970s. Understandably so. So since that, and then because you were black, you also could not be a Mormon priest. All right? So because of that, they've had to do some backtracking and redoing everything. If you know anything about the Mormon belief, Joseph Smith is their founder, and back in the 1811 or so. In the 1820s, 1823, somewhere in there, he had his first angel encounter. Does anybody remember the angel's name? Moroni. All right? Moroni was the angel. He met with this angel. And if you know anything about Joseph Smith's life, He basically was wanting to know, God, what church should I go to? He liked the Methodist church. His mom liked the Presbyterian church, I believe. But he liked the Methodist church. So he went out into the woods, prayed, and as he prayed, he got his first vision. That vision came to him, and in that vision, it's very important because if you go to the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price, all of this is in it, but there's contradictions in all of their stuff based upon what Joseph Smith first said to what the Book of Mormon actually says or the Pearl of Great Price says. So if you're ever talking to a Mormon, you need to hit hard their contradictions because they're in everything, all right? Even the Book of Mormon is full of plagiarism. They take huge, huge sections of King James Version Isaiah and just patch them right into the Mormon Book of Mormon. They just took it right out and just paste it right in there. Even though, quote unquote, the Book of Mormon was supposedly came into existence around 600 AD, I believe, or something like that. And the whole question is how do you get 1611 King James English way back then? They still haven't figured that out. They don't know. But anyhow, so as Joseph Smith had these two great, he calls them, he says, what do you call them? They are not personages. It's supposed to be the Father and the Son. And he asked them, all right, which church should I go to? The Son said, don't go to any church because they're all corrupt. You basically need to start your own. And he said, I'll give to you the golden plates. But you can't have them yet because you're not spiritually mature enough to get them. So he said, okay. So what he did is he had several more. That same night as he had that first vision, he had four more visions. And then he had a vision that would come annually for the next 4 years. All right? So he kept getting these visions more and more and more. And as he got these visions, eventually he got the golden plates. Funny thing is the golden plates have never been found. Never is there any record of them existing anywhere in history. His three men that started with Joseph Smith, all three of them, asked to see it. One guy says, I saw it, and in his quotes, I saw it with my spiritual eye. One of them. All three of them asked to see it. One guy got to, quote unquote, see it with his spiritual eye, but they've never, ever been found. Never, ever been seen. And guess what they were written in? Egyptian. Joseph Smith knows nothing about Greek, Hebrew, or Egyptian. So basically what it had to do is supposedly he looked at these plates, he read what they said, and another guy that was sitting there, Oliver Cromwell or something, then translated it for him onto the whole thing. All right? So the whole premise behind the Book of behind Mormonism is this Book of Mormon, which also has part of the Pearl of Great Price, and he has his commandments. That all makes up the Mormon belief. If you ask them in regards to the Bible, this is what they'll say. How can you trust a Bible that has been translated? Now you think about that. What did he do from Egyptian into the English language? He had to translate it. But you can't trust your Bible because it's been copied and translated. So it doesn't make sense. They got so many contradictions all the way through, it's not funny. God, what we believe as far as God, he was not eternally existent. He is a God because he had a Godfather before him, and there was a Godfather before him, and a Godfather before him. So what your whole goal is to become a God. All right? And another big problem, as you would know in regards to Mormons, another big problem that the Mormons have was that they had multiple wives, polygamy. Well, that was quote-unquote outlawed in the late 1800s, around 1890, because, as you guys fully know, the United States has been had it outlawed for a long time. Joseph Smith was believed to have had somewhere between 24 and 86 wives. He had 54 children. Okay? That didn't go so well with I don't forget what his first wife's name was. It didn't go very well with her. It always was a sore spot to her. But he basically said this: look, in order for me to become this great God someday, I need to have all these kids so these kids can have more kids. So eventually what it'll do is it'll push me up to the celestial part as quickly as possible. All right? You are, if you want to boil down the Mormon fact of everything, it's a works-based salvation. You have to work. You have to work in your pre-existent life. Now you are working now, and the more you work and follow, you got to follow the Ten Commandments, you got to follow the Book of Mormon, you got to follow Joseph Smith's commandments, you need to read the Pearl of Great Price, you need to do all of these in order so that you won't have to stay in the bottom one, which is the celestial kingdom, very long. Now, you say, Pastor John, do they really have anything to base their stuff on? Well, they base it upon two things. They base it upon what Joseph Smith said, what has been written down, and even that has been changed and revised. They've had so many problems, even here in the United States, with governing bodies. They've had a huge problem with their whole polygamy issue. They've just ran into all sorts of problems. So because of that, then they've had to revise and revise and revise and revise. So they based it upon that, and certain key things they base upon Scripture. They say that you can find all three, the celestial, terrestrial, and celestial, in 1 Corinthians. Is that true? Is that true? You say no. Why? The Bible talks about in the passage, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, I think it is. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about celestial bodies, and it also talks about terrestrial bodies. All right? Terrestrial bodies would be what kind of bodies? Earthly bodies. Celestial bodies would be what kind of bodies? Heavenly bodies. Do you find celestial in there? Do you find it in there? It would be between 40 and 42. Do you find the third one in there at all? We find two, celestial and terrestrial. Do you find telestial in there? They claim it's in there. You can't find it, believe me. It's not. They also say that you can find purgatory in the Bible, which would be telestial. Can you find that in the Bible? I have never. I've challenged my Catholic friends that I had that say, oh, yeah. My priests have told me that there's a purgatory. Every single one, I've challenged them. Okay, you come back and you find me a chapter and verse. Do you realize I have not had one of them come back and tell me, oh yeah, here it is? Not one. All right. They say that God had they say that God has flesh and bones just like you and I. That's what they say. Is that true? I hear a no and a yes both. God the Father. Is he spirit or is he body being like we are? Okay, where do we find that? John chapter 4 is right. And what does it say? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in... Okay, that right there just proves that God the Father doesn't have flesh and bones. Where they get off in regards to saying that God has body, flesh like we do, is they quote from the part where Moses saw God face to face. All right? What is that known in Scripture? When we find that often there are certain parts of Scripture where it says Moses saw the backside of God and Moses spoke to God face to face. What do we call that? I hear a lot of mumbling. Can't hear anybody though. Brother Becker, what'd you say? Theophany. There's also another thing for it. What's that? There can be Christophanies, anthropomorphisms about God, all right? Where God is given physical features to him, all right? Physical features. We also have theophanies and Christophanies, both. That's true, where God appears in the Old Testament through different ways, angels and stuff like that, that God appears. But the Bible clearly states that God is a spirit. I have a ton of different passages of Scripture which states that God is a spirit. They also say that God started at a particular time. Where would we go from there? Well, how would we contradict that? That God had that all gods have a particular time frame where they start and then they might start here, but they might keep going. What would we say to that? What verse would we bring up? What's that? Okay, Genesis, we could start right in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. All right? So before the beginning, God was there. All right? That's a good one. They would also say that Jesus Christ was created. They say that Jesus Christ, Joseph Smith, Moses, Abraham. Who is the other one? Another person. They all created the world that we have. Okay? So that's who they say. Although they'll say that Jesus Christ is Yahweh, he is not Elohim. All right? They will say that he is Yahweh, but they won't say he's Elohim. Well, if you look in the Old Testament, you can find quite a few passages where Yahweh and Elohim are one and the same. They can't be divided. They cannot be separated. All right? So they say that Jesus Christ was a created being. All right? He is not. He was not. John specifically says that. God became flesh and dwelt among us. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God and the Word is God. Same as, and you can also find in John chapter 8, I believe it is, talks about Jesus Christ being ever before anything was ever here. That he was the one that specifically, I think it's, is it Colossians 1:18? Colossians 1:16, where it talks about Jesus Christ being an active part in the whole creation process. And it's true. What else? What else do we look at that both God wasn't created and Jesus Christ wasn't created?
Okay? They have a problem with the Trinity. Their issue with the Trinity is they say that although, and this I need to quote them. All right. They believe, this is their quote, "We believe in God the Eternal Father, although He's not eternally existed." They believe in God the Eternal Father, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. Do you have a problem with that one so far? Some things are right. Some things are wrong. Most occults mix truth with what? Error. It's exactly right. That's what they're famous for. This cannot rationally be construed to mean that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one in substance and in person. Did you catch that? You cannot possibly think that all three could be co-equal. In essence, they say you're ludicrous. You are dumb in the head to think that all three of them can be co-equal. They believe that Jesus Christ is Lucifer's brother. Okay? That's honestly what they believe. One of the things that they definitely ascribe to is that Jesus Christ was Lucifer's brother. All right? There are three gods, separate in personality, united in purpose, in plan, and in all attributes of perfection. All right? God is an organized being, just as we are now in the flesh. He is a progressive being and possesses the capacity of eternal increase, perhaps once a child and mortal, just like we are. Is that a problem? You have a problem with that? I hope you do. Can you be God? The Bible clearly states, "For I am God, and there is none else." There's another one. "There is none other beside me, neither before me nor after me." The Old Testament is loaded, loaded with verses that say, "I am God." That's it. There's none that even come close to me. I have created everything. All things exist by me. And it's true. The problem with the Mormons is they take certain little tiny passages of Scripture and they'll prove one little tiny point. But with that point, they add in a whole bunch of other stuff. So you might agree with a very, very little thing. When it comes to salvation, I did want to bring that out specifically. Let's see, where is it? All right. Two things. One, when Mormons talk about salvation, they actually mean resurrection. They believe that all beings will be resurrected because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That is salvation. Okay? Do all beings get saved because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross? No, you're right. No, they do. It gives every person the opportunity to accept Christ. But just because Christ went to the cross doesn't mean that every being, they would say that every person is redeemed because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Although they're unbelievers. So how can everybody be redeemed, but there be non-believers? Non-believers, Satan and his demons will be put in celestial and they'll be punished. Now, their punishment can be a day, an hour, or in age, depending on whatever God chooses, or whatever that God chooses. All right? That's how the whole thing. You guys could be punished, according to them, because you are not Mormons, and you haven't been good Mormon churchgoers. You guys could be punished in the celestial kingdom for a little while. But if you were good non-Mormons, you would skip the celestial process, go right into terrestrial, and then eventually one day you can work your way up to celestial. So one day you can be God. Folks, it is so vital that you know your Bible. Did you hear me? It is so vital that you know your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, that's how you get baffooned, as my dad used to call it. You get bamboozled, hoodwinked, all right? You do. You would take, and they say salvation, we say salvation, you say, hey, I'll go with that. Amen. So everybody needs to get saved. Yes! What they mean by salvation is not the same thing that we mean by salvation. Okay? They would be all for Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Okay? But Jesus Christ isn't God. He was God's Son Spirit. Just like the Holy Spirit was God's second son. Okay? And Lucifer also is a brother of Christ. Do you understand the problem here? They do. They've got a huge problem. But if you don't know your Bible, and you don't know some of the basic outgoings as far as who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, that they've always existed, that all three of them had part in creation, all three of them were present at Christ's baptism, all three of them were present when the Bible says, ye shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost has come find you, and you go through Acts, and it specifically gives to you the Trinity all over again. You need to know those things. Otherwise, these people will sound good, they talk good, they look good, and guess what? They are proselytizing people by leaps and bounds. Their goal is to double in population by 2025. 15 years from now, they want to double in population. So they would go from to 22 million Mormons. Do you realize that they have got the money to do it? They are one of the number one churches that advertise on TV. Have you ever seen their advertisements on TV? They look good. They sound good. They're all lovey-dovey. As far as, you know, we love people. Come one, come all. We don't care how you are. But folks, if you go to the Mormon church and you believe what they believe about God, one day you'll stand before God and He won't be your Heavenly Father. And He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And yet, sad to say, they have got more missionaries out than you can even think of. How many times have we had missionaries stand up here or here and say, folks, where I'm going, there's no Baptists out there, but the Mormons have already been there, Jehovah's Witnesses have already been there. I shake my head and I say, why? We have the truth. We have God's Word. Why is it that we're not going? Why is it that they can bring in they were bringing in $6 billion annually. $6 billion annually.
And we struggle. I'm not saying it's your fault. Please don't get me wrong. I am preaching to the choir. I understand that. But why is that? Why is that? They got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. They keep buying land by the buckets full. Utah is virtually controlled by these guys. You don't believe me? Talk to a missionary, a Baptist missionary that's out there. They'll tell you that. They run everything from the governorship all the way down. It was believed at one time you couldn't be a Utah Jazz player unless you were a Mormon. Did you know that, Lem? It was believed Utah Jazz is an NBA, very, very secular thing, but it was believed that you couldn't be a Utah Jazz person unless you were a Mormon. One of their great star people for the NBA, for the Utah Jazz, every time he would go to shoot his free throws, would recite something out of the Book of Mormon. It's a way of life, and they keep growing and growing and growing. Folks, know your Bible. Know it from cover to cover. Don't be afraid to challenge the Mormon belief. They waffle. It goes all over the place. They've had to revise and revise and revise and revise and revise because not everything flows. All right? Challenge them. Say, hey, this is the Word of God. We didn't have any hocus pocus. We didn't have any angels from this and visions from that and all of this. We don't have any quote unquote gold plates that were never ever found. There's more and more and more and more proof for the Bible every single day. Praise the Lord for biblical archaeologists. That's why we need to send Ethan. All right? That's what Ethan wants to do. He's not here tonight. He's downstairs. Ethan wants to be an archaeologist. We need a whole lot more of them. Because guess what? They prove, or I should say, they help to prove the validity and facts of the Bible. That it truly did exist. That we have all these copies, and they keep coming up with more and more and more and more copies of the Bible that prove that what we have before us is true and right and accurate. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. You have it. Why don't we read it? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fact that we do have God's Word, that we can study God's Word. It needs to be alive, and it needs to be powerful in our life. As we share the gospel with the people, co-workers, people that we bump shoulders with, these people that knock on our doors, help us not to be too busy. Help us not to be afraid. But Father, I ask that you would help us to get out our Bible and share our faith. The Bible says, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Father, I ask that you would help us to give out the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.